Okay, so the topic is a fancy topic. I'll explain how we got there and why.
Dedication.
I'm so sorry, Henry. Give me one second. I apologize. Okay, today's shiur is dedicated with Zecher Nishmas, Henry's father-in-law, Chaim Abba Ben Yosef, whose yard site was on Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, and also dedicated to Leila Nishmas Rachel Lea Bas Chaim Asher HaKohen, whose yard site is the 5th of Tammuz. Chaim Abba is Mindy's father, and Rachel Lea is Henry's mother, and the learning should be an aliyah, or have an aliyah for both of their neshamos. Okay, sorry. Okay, so I thought, I looked at the parsha and I thought Pidyon HaBen seems like a pretty good mitzvah to talk about. Seems pretty straightforward. It has interesting halachos related to it. It is true, I thought to myself, that you rarely go to one. I've been to very few Pidyon HaBens in my life. And just to put it out there, I think that's because, first, you need to have a son born first. That's the first thing. Second, you or your wife can't be a Kohen or a Levi. Third, it has to be a Paterechem so that if there was a miscarriage or a C-section, none of those count. And therefore, I think there are fewer Pidyon HaBens than we would imagine. I've noticed recently, it seems like there's a trend to be Mekil in that. There's a question, what exactly is a miscarriage and how late in the pregnancy, would a first child miscarriage stop the need for a Pidyon HaBen? It seems like there's more kulos going on around that, although it's really hard to say what's a kula and what's a chumrah. But anyway, the shiur was going to be about Pidyon HaBen. But I kept getting stuck on the bigger issue, which is the simple question of if God wanted Bechorim to be holy, then why did he give us a mitzvah to be poda them and change them from holy to something less, which is pretty much what the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen is. Now, as we'll see in the sources, but just to put it out there, there are two broad possibilities in terms of why Bechorim are special. The first one is simply that most firsts in halacha are special. There's Reishis Hageres, there's Bikurim, there's a whole range of things where sort of the first thing for all of us, the first things just in human nature are more special. And therefore, Bechorim, having been born first, perhaps that's where they get the special nature from. The other is historical. And that is in Mitzrayim, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought Makas Bechoros, there is some sense that it was supposed to be on all Bechorim. And specifically, our Bechorim were saved. And through that, Ki'ilu, God was Kona the Bechorim. And they became, more chosen, or they had a more special role than the rest of us. Just to be clear, I'm not a Kohen, I'm not a Yisrael, and I'm not a Bechor. So I have no, I'm not a Levi, I'm sorry, I'm a Yisrael. But I have no, I'm not invested in this in any way. Okay, the thing that happened, of course, which we'll touch on, is that, but it's not clear if it happened because of Pidyon HaBen, or Pidyon HaBen happened because of this, but at some point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu traded Bechorim for Levim. And we'll talk about that, but it happened either as a result of Chet HaEgel, or you could argue different ideas, but that's what happened, such that it looked like, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had one plan, and then he changed the plan, or he ke'ilu changed his mind, which you think sounds disrespectful to say, but it's so obvious that it happened many, many times in the Torah, from the Eitz Hadas to just to pick an easy one, how come there were no Jews before Avraham Avinu? Was there supposed to be a chosen people from the start? And if so, why did it take, 1948 years for it to be mentioned in the Torah? Whatever it means, there are examples in Tanakh and in Chamish Chumshei Torah of God ke'ilu changing his mind, and this may be one of them. Okay, all that by way of introduction. Now, let's try to do some halacha, and some machshava at the same time to try to figure out what's going on. So let's start with the psukim in this week's parsha. The Torah says as follows: Kol peterechem l'chol basar asher yakivu l'Hashem ba'adomu v'abheima yihyalach. Okay, the first peterechem, literally the thing that opens the womb, will belong to you, the Kohanim. Ach pados sifte es bechor ha'adam ves bechor ha'beima atmeyat sifte. However, there is a mitzvah. It's an imperative. Pados sifte, you must redeem. By the way, not you may redeem. There is no option for the parents to say, you know what, we don't want the son. You keep him. There is a mitzvah to redeem the bechor. And what are the details? Updiyav miden chodesh tifteh. He should be redeemed from 1 month, from the 30th day and up. Be'er kicha kesev chamesha shekalim b'shekel ha'kodesh asim gerahu. And the price is chamesha shekalim b'shekel ha'kodesh. There are many discussions about where the price came from. The one that gets quoted a lot, and it's nice, is that the brothers, the Shvatim, sold Yosef for 20 pieces of kesef, which equal 5 shkalim. Yosef was the bechor of Rachel. So ki'ilu, I don't know, we're doing tshuva for that aveira by buying back our bechorim for the same price. But in all events, the mitzvah is clear. Ach pados siftes bechor ha'adam ves bechor be'imat me'at sifteh. We are commanded, it's a mitzvah saseh, to redeem bechorim. Now, I just want to point out that this is this week's parsha. There are at least 3 other places in the Torah that could have served as a source for the mitzvah of pidyon haben. And I point that out, A, because it'll come up in a little bit perhaps, but B, more importantly, because, you know, we think of pidyon haben and the role of bechorim as being, you know, some minor issue. Like, what's big? Matzah's big. Tefillin's big. Pidyon haben, that's like some minor technical thing. And you'd be surprised to see how often the Torah relates to it and how often the Torah relates to the role of bechorim and the role of levim. It comes up many more times than you would think. Okay, let's start. The easiest place to start is the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos. Mitzvat Asei Pei, says the Rambam, V'hamitzvah hashmonim, Pei is 80, Hi shetzivanu liftot bechor adam. We are commanded to redeem the firstborn male human. V'shenitein hadamim ha'im la'kohen. And we should give that money to the Kohen. Now, having seen mitzvahs like this before, we're sensitive to the question of, wait, one mitzvah or two? Are these two component parts of a mitzvah? And clearly the Rambam thinks there is redeeming and there is paying the amount to the Kohen, both of which are part of a mitzvah called Pidyon HaBen. V'hu amaro yitaleh, says the Rambam, that's a pasuk, not in this week's parsha, but in Mishpatim, Bechor banecha titein li, that we are obligated to give bechorim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, that's not the mitzvah of pidyon haben. That's sort of the opposite of pidyon haben. That's a mitzvah to give bechorim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Rambam goes on and says, Ubier lanu hanesina hazot eich tihyeh. And the Torah explains, how do you give a bechor to God? V'hu sheniftehu min ha'kohen. No, really, it doesn't mean giving, it means redeeming. U'kilu kvar zachabo v'nikneu imenu b'chameish shlaim. As if the Kohen already owns your Bechor, and now we're purchasing or we're repurchasing the Bechor at the price of 5 shlaim or shkalim. V'hu amaro, now says the Rambam, this week's parsha. And that's why the additional pasuk says, Ach pados sifte es bechor ha'adam, that we are commanded to redeem bechorim. U'mitzvah zo hi mitzvat pidyon haben. Okay, this mitzvah is a mitzvah that's known as pidyon haben. Ve'ein hanashim chayavot ba. Mothers are not narrowly defined, obligated in pidyon haben. V'amnam hi mi mitzvah saben ala av, because it falls into the category of obligations of the father. To his son, although there are many instances in which a woman can help or can do the mitzvah pidyon haben, like, for example, a woman who's not commanded to give a bris milah to her son, but if the father doesn't, and or in other circumstances, she can participate in that mitzvah as well. Okay, so we start with the simple Rambam saying there is a mitzvah d'oraisa of pidyon haben. Interestingly, the Rambam quotes two different psukim, which usually means that there's two themes going on within the mitzvah. But the mitzvah in this week's parsha is redeeming a firstborn. Okay. If you go back one mitzvah in the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos, it's not this week's parsha, but it's hard not to connect the two. And clearly the Rambam did, because as we know, the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos, you know, the overall structure is not clear, but the fact that the mitzvahs are lumped thematically, that is very clear. And so not surprisingly, the Rambam has a different mitzvah in mitzvah Ayin Tes, via mitzvah Ayin Tes, source number 3 on the sheet, he shetzivanu lekadesh bechorot. It's the opposite, right? This mitzvah says, we have a mitzvah d'oraisa to sanctify the firstborn. Kilomar, lahafrisham ulahavdilam lemasheraui sheyaseh bahem. They are to be separated and sanctified to do that which they're supposed to do. V'amaro yitalen, that's a pasuk in Parashas Bo, kadesh li kol b'chor peta kol rechem b'bnei Yisrael ba'adam uva'behema, that we are commanded to sanctify the firstborn, okay, both humans and animals. That's a mitzvah d'oraisa. So again, we have this bizarre situation in which one mitzvah is sanctify the firstborn, and another mitzvah is redeem the firstborn, which kind of leads to the question, well, you know, why don't we just do neither? If we didn't sanctify the firstborn, we wouldn't have to redeem the firstborn. And if God really wants the firstborn to be sanctified, then why does he command us to do pidyon haben and to redeem? Okay, that's a major sort of philosophic issue, which, you know, we'll try to come back to, although I can't promise you a completely satisfying answer. But let's move on to just the fundamental halacha question of what type of mitzvah is pidyon haben? What's really going on here? So this looks like it's a machlokas, if not in Rishonim and Achronim. Let's start in Shulchan Aruch. This is literally what happens at a pidyon haben. If you've ever been there and you paid attention, there's actually a conversation, a halachic conversation that's supposed to take place between the father and the Kohen. You know, there's a script. If you take out a sitter now, you know, and you find, I don't know, you know, Seder, pidyon haben, you'll see that this is the script. Source number 4, v'hakohen shoel oto. This is the Ramah. The Kohen asks the father, b'may ba'is tfei, what do you want more? B'bincha b'chorecha, o chamesh shla'im d'mechayeves liftos bahen. Would you rather, you know, give me your son, or would you rather give me 5 shla'im that you're obligated to redeem him? Right? Obviously, at a pidyon haben, if people are paying attention, it's time for like some joking around. Maybe the father won't do it. The halacha is you have to. It's a charade. The mitzvah is to be poda your son. You're not allowed to tell the Kohen, I don't want him back. And then it is, v'ha'av omer, he says exactly what it says in the script. Bibni b'chori, no, I want my son. V'heilach hei sla'im b'pidyono. And here's the price. Here's 5 sla'im for his redemption. Okay, and then he says, Ubahadi shenosein lo hamos, and while he's giving him the money, mivarech brachot hanizkaro, he makes the bracha of al pidyon haben and shechiyanu. Okay, v'chein nohagim b'midinot elu, says the Ramah, this is our minhag, im ha'av etzel haben, right? If the father is doing the pidyon, then this is our minhag. Okay, there's a whole long question about what if the father doesn't do it. It happens from time to time. It's happened in yeshiva that I know of, and you hear this story from time to time. You know, somebody grows up irreligious, and he's in yeshiva, he's 18 years old, and he finds out there's a mitzvah called Pidyon HaBen. And he's a firstborn. Yeah, so he calls his parents, and it turns out, you know, there are no loopholes. So the answer is, so you can do Pidyon HaBen now. Right? Much like Bris Milah, at 13, the mitzvah transfers from the father or from the parents to the boy. The same thing happens for a Pidyon HaBen. And, you know, it's happened before. Okay, you get a coin, get some friends, order some pizza, do a Pidyon HaBen. Okay, now the Ramah says something. So first of all, within the Ramah, it sounds very much like the Rambam, that this is a real thing, that this is like almost a real kinyan, in that the Bechor doesn't really belong to you. And you have to literally buy him back from the Kohen. Okay, but then the Ramah says something really strange. He says, Ve'ein ha'av yachol liftot al yidei shaliach. But the father cannot do a Pidyon HaBen via a shaliach, via a messenger. Similarly, v'gamein bezdin podin oto b'lo ha'av. And the bezdin can't do it without the father. Now, that's strange. Why is it strange? Because generally speaking, we say, Shlucho shel adam kimoso. A messenger is just like you and can do all the things that you can do. And certainly a messenger can buy a field for you and can, you know, can do all kinds of financial transactions. And a messenger could marry for you and can divorce for you. So where in the world does the Ramah get this idea that the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen cannot be conducted via a shaliach? So maybe I would have thought of it, maybe I wouldn't have, but the Vilna Gaon, you know, famously thought this was crazy. Source number 5, the Vilna Gaon quotes the Ramah right there on that simon in Shin Hei in Yoredeya and says, Ve'ein ha'av yarei l'chol to appoint a shliach, he says, Kol zehu tamua. Says the Gaon, I don't understand any of this. Delo mi boya al yidei shaliach, de shlucho shalalam kamoso. He says it's not just that we hold shlucho shalalam kamoso, and so a shaliach should be able to do Pidyon HaBen. He says ela daaf acher yachol liftos afilu belo dato shalav, delo adif mi mashakosav sheacher yachol liftos. Says the Vilna Gaon, it's not just that it seems crazy that the Ramah thinks that the father cannot appoint a shaliach. He says you don't even need a shaliach. Anybody could do it for you. Presumably, just like people can pay your debts for you, right? Clearly, the Vilna Gaon sees this mitzvah as something much different than the way the Ramah sees it. And generally speaking, people quote, there's a prichadash in source number 6 that's quoted in the Ktzos. He says, Ra'isi b'kuntras mayim chayim lagona mechava prichadash sheha'ela demutar litein lekohen katan pidyon chamesh sla'im. How great is that? He says, you could use a kohen who's not even bar mitzvah. You just have to give 5 sla'im to a kohen. He doesn't even have to know what's going on. Deben mehaitaima didas acheres makne Isle lekatan zchia minatorah. He says, because a katan can be zocha in something minatorah under certain circumstances. The circumstances are, generally speaking, we're not sure that a katan can pick something up and be koneed, because we think maybe he doesn't have das, but if somebody gives it to the katan, it's easier to be kona. Why? Because there's no one competing for it, right? If something is sitting in the street, so it's ownerless, and now you have to beat off the claim of everybody else. But if I give 5 slime to a katan, you don't have to beat off anybody else's claim because I gave it to you directly, and presumably I helped you understand the transaction, and so you should be koneh. Okay? All these are technicalities that help us understand the major point. And the major point is that for the Pri Chadash and the Vilna Gaon, this is more or less a financial transaction, much like, I don't know, Truma and Meiser and all these other gifts. They're gifts to the Kohen. Pidyon HaBen is kind of a fundraising thing. It's another way for Kohanim to be supported by Klal Yisrael. But it's nothing more than a financial transaction. And therefore, you can do it, a shaliach can do it, a katan can accept it, somebody else can do it, because it's simply a debt that you have. But for the Rama, it's a real mitzvah. For the Rama, your son doesn't belong to you. And there's something unique about this. Now, I would suggest, I can't tell you for sure that this is true, I would suggest that for the Rama, it falls into a category of mitzvos that are what we call mitzvos shebegufo. So for example, yes, we say shlucho shalom kamoso, but nobody thinks you can appoint somebody to wear tefillin for you. Nobody thinks you can appoint somebody to eat matzah for you, to take a lulav, to hear shofar, because that's a personal obligation that can physically only be fulfilled by the person who's obligated. And so I think for the Rama, Pidyon HaBen matches up with mitzvos shebeguf, right? It's not just that it's a real transaction in which you're ki'ilu buying back your son from the Kohen. Much more than that, says the Rama. It's a real mitzvah that has to be done by you. It's so significant that it's not an obligation that could pass to anybody else, not to a shaliach and not to Beis Din. Okay, so that's generally, yes.
Yeah, so is there a difference then, to go back to your case in the yeshiva, you got a kid who's there at 18. So now you've got, is this become incumbent on him?
Yes, I think the fairest way to compare it to is on this level to a bris milah, where the halacha is clear. At 13, the obligation transfers from the son, you know, from the father to the son. And it's not as if, and to be clear, it's not as if before 13, the father does it in place of the son. No, it's the father's mitzvah, just like Pidyon HaBen. It's not like, you know, my father, Zichron Levracha, was poda my older brother because my older brother's unable to do it. No, the mitzvah was on my father. After bar mitzvah, the mitzvah transfers to the boy himself. And so then, yeah, he has to ki'ilu be poda himself from a kohen. And by the way, I don't think it happened only in our yeshiva. There are probably other places this could happen. But anyway.
So is he like giving a schus to the parent because he's covering?
No, that's exactly the point. It's not a schus to the parent. It's the father's mitzvah. The son can't do it. At 12 years old, you know, the guy's the frumest kid in the world, and he figures out that his father didn't do it. I don't think he can do anything till he's 13. The mitzvah transfers to him. Before then, it's not his mitzvah.
So the recalcitrant father can't be remedied until 13?
I suppose you could do what you normally do, which is break his legs, or, you know, I don't know, probably in the new coalition agreement, you're not allowed to do that anymore. But I suppose, like any mitzvah saseh that the father wasn't doing, you could bring communal pressure on him. But I don't think there's another way out. I don't think...
According
to the Rama, there's no other way out. According to the Brichadash, according to the Gra, of course there's another way out. Anybody could do it, because he sees it as a different type of mitzvah. But for the Rama, I think there's no way out.
What about if there's no father?
Yeah, it's a good question.
The mitzvah falls on someone. There's a pidyon bein after 30 days.
You're absolutely right.
And why should it be worse than Mila? Mila was a great example. I mean, Mila certainly is done by Shaliach.
It happens to be that...
What about the mother?
One second. It happens to be with respect to bris Mila, that's a big machlokas, right? It could, let's face it, there's a real risk. I don't want to be cynical about this, but had the halacha been otherwise, there'd be less Jews in the world, right?
But there's no question that when the moel does it, he's doing it as your shaliach. Some people you'd say mitzvah bo yosim bishiluchai, but what the moel is doing is your shalichus.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Again, there's a chumrah that if the father can, and there's this idea in halacha that if the father can, you know, he's supposed to do it himself, right? That's like, there's like a story that when Rav Lichtenstein's first son was born, you know, he told the Rav, well, he's Rav Chaim, you know, and the Rav reportedly said something like, it's a very interesting Rav Chaim, but not on my grandson. Okay, you know, hard to know, but you're right. And, you know, probably that's why the Vilna Gaon was so confused by the Ramah. I suppose the Vilna Gaon saw it and thought to himself, you could do it for Bris Mila, you could do it for Pidgin HaBen. Again, the only explanation I have is the one that I have, and that is that they saw the mitzvah fundamentally differently. And that for the Ramah, this is a real thing. Your son doesn't belong to you, and there's a mitzvah for you to get him back, and that mitzvah is on you and not on other people and can't be done for other people. And for the Gra and for the Pri Chodesh, no, nothing like that. You know, it's money that's owed to a kohen. Anybody could pay it. This may play in to the machshava part. So let's move on with that. I have to say, I don't know the answer to Jackie's question. We could check in Shin Hei. Maybe somebody could check while we're doing it. It's obviously the case that if there's no father, right, there can be a Pidgin HaBen. The question is, how's that done according to the Ramah? It could be that in that circumstance, the mother, you know, the mitzvah transfers to the mother. I don't know. But there's obviously an answer to that question. Okay. Let's move to the broader issue, which I think is probably related to the halachic one, but not necessarily. Source number 7. Okay, here's a pasuk from Parshas Bo. This is during Yitzias Mitzrayim. Vaydaber Hashem Moshe Leimor, Kadesh li kol bechor, peter kol rechem bivnei Yisrael ba'adom v'abahema lihu. Right? God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, sanctify all the bechorim, the first one out of the womb, okay, they belong to me. Now, strangely, Moshe doesn't really do it. He does it later, but he says, "Vayom Moshe la'am zachar es hayom azeh asher yitzatem mi Mitzrayim mi beit avadim, ki bechozek yad hotzi Hashem etchem mizeh v'lo ye'achel chametz." I'm only pointing this out because, you know, we make such short shrift of Pidgin HaBen. God says to Moshe, the first thing he tells him in this parsha in Bo is, the Bechorim belong to me. And then Moshe tells Klal Yisrael, you know, yeah, this is a really big deal. Don't eat chametz. He gets around to it. But in the telling, in the narrative, Kedushas Bechor is a significant part of the story. I mean, we know the story. We know that God killed all the Bechorim. But I think, I say it for you. For me, you know, maybe because I'm not a Bechor and I'm still bitter, but, you know, I've never really focused on how many times and in significant places the Kedushas Bechor pops up in the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now, let's ask the question, what does it mean, Kadesh li kol Bechor? Literally, what's the act? By what right, in what way are we Mekadesh a Bechor? So the Rambam has an incredible halacha. The Rambam in source number 8 says as follows. Mitzvah lehakdish bechor behemat tahora v'yomah harezeh kadosh shenemar takdish Hashem alokecha v'im lo hikdisho. Now what if you don't do it? There's a mitzvah to say bechor behemat tahora, I'm sorry, is kadosh. What if you don't do it? Says the Ram, v'im lo hikdisho, hareze mit kadesh me'elav, u'kidushato me'rechem hi. Well, that seems like a pretty obvious contradiction. The Rambam says, there's a mitzvah to be mekadesh b'chor behema tahora. Oh, and by the way, what happens if you didn't do it? Doesn't matter, because it was already kadosh me'rechem. The second the animal came out, it was already kadosh. Naturally, this Rambam is widely discussed because it's so obviously inconsistent, except it's not. And there are other examples. What's the most obvious example of a mitzvah that we have to be mekadesh something, which would be kadosh anyway?
Shabbos.
Well, Shabbos and specifically Kiddush. Completely so, right? There is a mitzvah d'oraisa to be mekadesh the Shabbos. Okay? A mitzvah d'oraisa l'chol hadeos. But did anybody ever think, and they were stuck in a, you know, in a snowstorm on the way home for Shabbos, well, you know what? I just won't make Kiddush in the car, and therefore it won't be Shabbos till I come home. Of course not. So there is a model for God asking us to be mekadesh something where in all events it would have been kadosh on its own. There are other models of this. And it seems obvious that the way it works is, you know, God's asking for our partnership. I guess there are two ways you could answer the question. You could say, one is it's true. Shabbos is coming with or without our Kiddush. But God wants us to partner with him in sanctifying Shabbos, right? The Bechor Behema Tahora is going to be Kadosh with or without my statement. But God wants my statement because he wants me to partner with him in the creation of the Kedusha. The other form of saying it is, and I'll make it up. The other form of saying it is that Kedusha is anything that's above 80 on the Chol to Kodesh spectrum. Okay? And so if you're, you know, when Shabbos comes, it scores 80 on that spectrum. But if you make Kiddush and or when you make Kiddush, it goes up to 90 or it goes up to 100. It's Kadosh anyway. But you add a Kedusha to the baseline Kedusha that would have existed on its own, right? In that case, with respect to Bechor Behema, the same thing, right? Bechor Behema comes out Meirechem, and it has an 80 on the spectrum, and that has a din of Kedusha. But when you say Harezek Kadosh, that moves it up to 100. Now, is there a practical difference? No. There's no practical difference for Shabbos either, right? If you violate Shabbos without having made Kiddush, it doesn't, you know, get you a lesser punishment. But you, if you do sanctify Shabbos, you partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one, in being a person or a part of creating Kedusha in this world. And second, you may even increase the Kedusha. And I think we all, you know, we all feel it, right? Things that are Kadosh on their own are Kadosh on their own. But things that we helped become Kadosh, I think, feel more Kadosh to us. It feels like, you know, we partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we somehow created a higher level of Kedusha. Okay, so much for being, you know, for the Kedusha of a Bechor and this strange model of it being Kadosh anyway, and yet God wanting us to be Mekadesh it. Okay. We won't read it inside because it's just, I find, you know, the halacha interesting. Okay, we'll read it for a second. Source number 9, just a bizarre halacha that comes up all the time in Pidyon HaBen. Ratzah HaKohen Lahachzir Lo HaPidyon Machzir. The Kohen is allowed to give the purchase price for the Bechor, the 5 slime back. V'lo Yitein Lo Hu V'da'ato She'achzir. However, it cannot be the agreement from the start. V'masakein v'hichzilo ein b'no padui ad she'yigmor b'libo liteno matana gmura. Okay? You know, somebody, it happens, I think, all the time. Like people buy, I don't know, really, really expensive silver pieces. And they don't really want to give it to the Kohen. Says the Rambam, if you tell the Kohen, listen, I'm going to give it to you, but I expect you to give it back because, you know, this is worth hundreds of dollars, worth thousands of dollars, and I want to save it. You know, I'm going to have like a whole, I'm going to hang it up on the wall, I don't know, next to the foreskin. Okay, that was inappropriate. But I hang it up on the wall, you know, and show everybody. The Rambam says, no, that was not a pidyon haben. Now, the Rambam goes on to say something that you could do it on a matana al menas lahachzir, but that's a formal issue. What the Rambam's really saying, I think, is like the Rama. This is a real thing. This is a real mitzvah. This is a real purchase. And all the rules of real purchases apply to Pidyon HaBen as well. Okay, let's go on to some machshava. And it's always good to start with the Sefer HaChinuch. And the Sefer HaChinuch has two suggestions for the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen. or any kind of pidyon for that matter. This isn't even in the mitzvah of pidyon aben. And he has both of the suggestions we made at the beginning. Mishar she mitzvah zo, says the chinuch. What's the rationale for this mitzvah? Says the chinuch, sheratza Hashem lezakotenu la'asot mitzvah bebreshit piryenu. God wanted to give us the merit of doing a mitzvah with our first fruit. Leman dat ki akol shelo. Because when you do this symbolic act with your first fruit, it's as if you're saying, I recognize that everything I have and everything I will get comes from God. Ve'ein lo la'adam davar ba'olam rak mashiach alek lo Hashem yitbarach b'chasadav. And we don't have anything that God hasn't given us. Ve'avin ze biroto ki achar she'yiga ha'adam kama yigiyot v'tarach kama trachim ba'olamo v'yigi al hazman she'asa pri. And the most significant time in which to announce that I acknowledge that which I have is from God is the first of anything. It's your first crops. It's your first gifts. It's your first son. That's where you do it. V'chaviv alav reshit piryo l'kivavate no. And, you know, your first of anything is the apple of your eye. Miyad notakat l'hakadosh baruch hu. And you immediately say, I want to give this thing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of course it's symbolic, but that's your statement. Umitro kein rishuto mimenu umachniso lishut baro. And ki'ilu, you're saying, it looks like my son, but it's not my son. My son belongs to God, right? That's my statement via Kiddushas Bechor and via the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen when you buy him back. And let's just point out the obvious. Of course you're going to buy him back. It's hard to give him to God, although like everything else, there's always a model like that, right? Shmuel is a model of a mother who gave her son to God and did not take him back, right? I don't think there's anything in the psukim about Pidyon HaBen, but you know, Shmuel was obviously his mother's bechor, and that may be a model separate and apart. But in the first theory of the chinuch, this has nothing to do with.
Wait, one second.
In the first theory of the chinuch, this has nothing to do with Yitzias Mitzrayim. It has nothing to do with bechorim being saved or anything like that. From the beginning of the world, presumably. You know, this idea, this metaphysical idea of the first being the most unique was there, and therefore there's a mitzvah Pidyon HaBen. Yes, Jackie.
Just one picky thing that Shmuel, he may not have been the Petarechem.
Is there a pasuk? I know what you're saying. Is that true? Do you know that to be true, or are you just...
No, I don't, but I'm saying you made the statement that he...
Right,
you know,
I know, let's put it this way. In the story, it's clear that he's the Bechor. You may be right that... You know, he wasn't the Petarechem. That could be part of it. Okay. Va'od. By the way, that's a really fascinating question, whether every akara in Tanakh is an akara that you couldn't conceive, which I think is Pshuto Shel Mikra, or maybe, sadly, there were a lot of, you know, unsuccessful pregnancies. Okay. Second idea in the Chinuch. Va'od. Last line. Lizkar ha'nes ha'gadol she'asa lanu Hashem itbarach b'b'charei Mitzrayim she'hargam v'hitzilanu mi'adam. Right, the second idea is the historical idea. The uniqueness of Bechorim is not from birth, it is from the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim and from Makas Bechoros. So let's go there. Source number 11. Here's what the Torah says. V'haya ki shalcha bincha machar lemor mazos. By the way, these are psukim we all know by heart, and I bet anything you didn't see Pidyon HaBen sitting there, even though it's there the whole time. Your son is going to say, what's going on? Va'amar toila b'chozek yad hotzienu Hashem mitzrayim beis avodim. God took us out of Egypt. Vayhi kig shafaro l'shalcheinu. Par didn't want to send us out. Vayarog Hashem kol b'chor be'eretz Yitzrayim mi b'chor adam va'ad b'chor behema. Al kein ani zoveach l'Hashem kol petarechem hazicharim v'chol b'chor b'nai efteh. Right? Even there, it interrupts the flow. You tell your son, no, what happened was Power didn't want to let us leave, and God had to kill all the Bechorim. Who needs this? Al Kain Ani Zovech Lashem Kopet Arechem Azachorim Bechor Bonai Bechor Bonai Efteh. And then Tfilin, V'hayala Otal Yadachol Totafot Beinenecha Ki Bechozek Yad Hotzianu Hashem Mitzrayim. Again, we would never rank Pidyon HaBen and Kedushas Bechor with Tfilin, but you keep coming across Psukim that emphasize the critical nature of Pidyon HaBen and Kedushas Bechor. It's almost like, I don't know how it got dropped from the Seder, right? How come at the Seder we don't spend time talking about the uniqueness of Bechorim, given that they were saved from Mitzrayim? So is that really true? The Sfarno says, absolutely. Source number 12. The Sfarno says, Kol Bechor Be'eretz Yitzrayim, Vehayu Bechore Yisrael, Re'uyim Lilkot Imahem. The truth is, it was the Bechorim who really should have been killed as well. Al Derech Penti Safer Ba'avon Ha'ir. Right? That's a pasuk from the story of Sodom, where the Malachim say to Lot, or Lot says, I can't remember which, you know, I don't want to be in a city that's going to be destroyed. Why? Presumably, while I'm not the world's most evil person, I'm not righteous enough to be saved if God is going to destroy the whole city. So the Sfarno is saying, he's not saying Bechorim were worse than anybody else or any other Jews. They weren't. But if you're killing the Bechorim, then, you know, you need something unique to save them. In this telling, it's really fantastic, right? God saved them, and in the act of saving them, they became his. They became kadosh. Ba'ofen shehayu b'chorei ha'adam b'Yisrael kemo nizirim o yoter. In a way that made Bechorim special, different. You know, they couldn't be plumbers. They couldn't do other work for you. They couldn't be lawyers. They couldn't be anything. They were separated to God. Miyuchadim la'avodat hakel yitbarach va'asurim ba'avodat hedyot. Right? They're not allowed to fix your pipes. They are set aside to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then why do you have to do Pidyon HaBen? V'chol b'chor b'nai efteh. The answer is so that they can do regular work. Otherwise, they would have been sanctified. But another point here, which I think may explain the central role of Bechorim, you know, and why we keep bumping into Kedushas Bechor and Pidyon HaBen in the middle of the story, is what if it's the case that the only people who were saved in Mitzrayim were Bechorim, right? What if it's the case that I was never at risk in Mitzrayim because I'm not a Bechor? And so I didn't have to put blood on my doorpost. Of course I did, because it was a mitzvah. But what if it turns out that it's not a side point to Makas Bechoros? It's the whole story. Makas Bechoros should have killed all the Bechorim in Egypt, Jew and non-Jew, animal and whatever. And it was really only the Bechorim who were saved. And in that moment, life changed. In that moment, Bechorim became God's property in a way that the rest of us aren't. Now, again, obviously, well, I don't want to say that yet. Okay, so far, so good. I think what we've said so far is true. Let's look at more psukim. Same exact theme. This is from Parshas Bamidbar. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe le'mor, va'ani hinei lakachti at halavim mitoch b'nei Yisrael, tachat kol b'chor petarechem mibnei Yisrael v'hayu li halavim. This is the next stage. In Mitzrayim, God was kona all the b'chorim. Okay? At some point later, God tells us to trade b'chorim for levim. He didn't just separate the Levim, he did it tachat kol bechor petarechem ibnei Yisrael v'hayu li halavim. Now, where did he get the bechorim from? Kili kol bechor biyom hakoti kol bechor be'eretz Yisrael hikdashti li kol bechor b'Yisrael me'adam ad behema li yihiyu ani Hashem. Here you have a change in plans. The simple reading of the psukim is as follows. In Mitzrayim, God sanctified all the Bechorim by saving them, and they really became the property of God and would otherwise have been unavailable to act and lead normal lives. But for some reason, in Parshas Bamidbar, God changes the plan and decides, you know what? I'm going to trade the Bechorim for the Levim. Why? So Rashi says pretty harshly, Va'ani hine lakachli, source 14, Va'ani mehechan zachiti bahen. How did I, God, get them? Mitoch b'nei Yisrael. Okay? Sheyihiyu Yisrael sochrin otan l'sheirut sheli. I took them for the Jewish people to sort of pay them to do my work. Al yidei ha-bechorot zachiti bahem u'lekachtim t'muratam l'fi shahayta ha-avoda b'bechorot. Says Rashi something which I think is obvious, but I think most of us don't think about. And he says as follows. The plan after Yitzias Mitzrayim was not for there to be a special tribe of Levi. Aye, who's going to do the avoda? The answer is Bechorim. So what changed? Says Rashi, Ukishechata'u be'egel nifsalu. Ah, but then when the Bechorim sinned at Chet Ha'egel, God didn't want them anymore. V'ha'leviyim shelo avdu avodah zara nivcharu tachtehem. And the Leviim earned it by their own merits. The Bechorim didn't earn anything by their merits. They should have died in Mitzrayim. God chose to save them. They did not repay good with good. At Chet Ha'egel, they participated. The Leviim did not. Therefore, change in plans. And Rashi says, therefore, God trades the Bechorim for the Leviim. But not before Rashi points out that until that time, Avoda, for whatever period of time it existed, was done via Bechorim, not via Shevet Levi, which, of course, we don't have time to get into it, is at the beginning of the narrative in this week's Parsha, right? Vayikach Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kahat ben Levi v'datan v'aviram b'nei Eliyav v'on ben Peles b'nei Reuven, right? Reuven were the Bechorim. They lost the job. That's why they were angry. And the Sfarno expands on this. Kili kol bechor, mikedem haita ha'avoda b'bechorot. Says the Sfarno, the avoda in the Mishkan was originally not just supposed to be for the Bechorim, but it was. B'yom akoti kol bechor, meretzai mikdashli kol bechor b'Yisrael, amnam. B'makat bechorot shayu ha'bechorot ruuyim le'onshan ba'avon hador. Says the Sfarno, in Mitzrayim, the Bechorim really should have been killed. And God saved them. He says, I sanctified them then, and they couldn't do anything else. So in order to allow Levim to do anything else, they needed to be redeemed. It looks like God changed his mind. First he wanted Bechorim. Then he traded them for Levim. Says the Sfarno, very beautiful. Ani Hashem, lo shiniti kishema'asti ha-Bechorot. I didn't change my mind when I rejected the Bechoros. Ki ze ha-hishtanut kara lo mitzidi aval mitzidam shechatu. That's an important philosophic statement. Says the Sfarno, it looks like God changed his mind. He didn't change his mind. The plan was for Bechorim to do the Avoda. The facts changed. Now you'll say, shouldn't the God have known the facts? But that's beyond us. The facts changed. When the Bechorim sinned, God needed another plan. And he decided as a backup plan to be Mekadesh Shevet Levi and to have, I guess the simple reading of the Sfarno is, and to introduce Pidyon HaBen as a way of being Po de Bechorim. So let's stop in like for 2 minutes and just recognize something. It's a completely different model than the one we grew up with. And I'll explain, right? In the world that we know, there are Kohanim and there are Levim. And if there was a Beis HaMikdash, they would be connected to the Beis HaMikdash. But imagine a world in which every family or half the families had a bechor. And there was no such thing as Levium. All the people knew somebody who worked in the Beis HaMikdash. It's a completely different model of Avoda than the one we're used to. The one we're used to is kind of a separate model. Yeah, there are these very holy people. We don't know any of them. They're not in my family. But there are these very holy people, and they work in this very holy place called the Beis HaMikdash. But what if most of us had a brother who worked in the Beis HaMikdash? Right? Imagine how different that would have been. It would have made the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash much more accessible to us. Now, it's not for me to say, you know, that that model was rejected. I think there's a Chizkuni. Manny Adler, like, sent me Haros on the Shir, even though making it clear he doesn't come, but he reads the Maamar Komos, and he figured out something that I wanted to say, and he wanted to disagree with me in advance. But he told me that there's a Chizkuni that says, yeah, the model just didn't work because it wasn't separate enough, right? Like, you were Bechor, but who was going to teach you if your father wasn't a Bechor? So who would teach you how to do the Avoda? I don't know how compelling that is. But it speaks to a completely different model of Judaism than the one that we're aware of. And whether the answer is because the Bechorim sinned, or whether the answer is because the model couldn't work, the model is important to us. And it's supposed to be what we're reminded of when we do the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen. Pidyon HaBen is a complete halachic formality, right? The Kohen says, what do you want, your son or five shkalim? And the halacha is, you have to say, I want my son. It's completely symbolic, but it's symbolic of a much bigger point. It's symbolic of a model that doesn't exist, but that could have existed. Now, maybe it's a model that we weren't zocha to. If we had been good enough, it would have worked that way. Hard to know. But it does speak to a completely different model of Avodas Hashem than what we're aware of. And so in the end, you know, we've seen a lot of strange ideas. We've seen that you're supposed to buy back your son who's a Bechor, even though you're first commanded to sanctify him, right? We saw Machlokas about how real a mitzvah is. It is a real mitzvah like the Ramah, no Shaliach, a mitzvah Shebegufo, or like the Vilna Gaon. No, it's just a monetary transfer. But more importantly, we saw the Psukim, and we saw how central the saving of Bechorim was to the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, how central the idea of sanctifying Bechorim is, how we can partner with God in being Mekadesh Bechorim, just like we partner with God in being Mekadesh Shabbos and a bunch of other things. And the end, you know, that we weren't Zocha to a more, I guess in Hebrew you would say an Amami, a more popular, a more accessible form of avoda, maybe because we weren't up for it. Maybe we weren't worthy of it. But the idea that there was a plan for Avodas Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash through Bechorim, and it was changed for whatever reason, that's something that stands behind the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen, and that's something that I think is worthwhile keeping in mind. All right, that's it for today. Shabbat Shalom, everybody. And I guess next week.